scripture is from three places this morning, from Job, from Luke, and from Revelation. As I read these, I see it before, during the present time, Palm Sunday, and I see it after. And I was tempted to ask Matt what he was going to do with that this morning, but I'm going to wait, like you, to find out where he goes with this. This is a new international version, and I'll start with Job 2:11-13. When Job's three friends, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, heard about all the troubles that had come upon him, they set out from their homes and met together by agreement to go and sympathize with him and comfort him. When they saw him from a distance, they could hardly recognize him. They began to weep aloud, and they tore their robes and sprinkled dust on their heads. When they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and 7 nights, no one said a word to him because they saw how great his suffering was. Then from Luke 19:37-44. When he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, a whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," Jesus replied, "if they keep quiet, stones will cry out." And as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The day will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your homes. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." And from Revelation 7:9 to the end of the chapter and then the first verse of chapter 8. "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders, living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, 'Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen.' Then one of the elders asked me, 'These in white robes, who are they and where do they come from?' I answered, 'Sir, and he said, "These are those who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not be down on them, nor any sword. Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." And in the first verse of chapter 8, "When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for half an hour."
Well, did you think you stepped into a prayer service? Did anyone feel called from God to speak after hearing those three scriptures read by David? If not, then I do have some prepared words that the Lord has put on my heart. Today, we embrace the spiritual practice of silence, so I decided to open my sermon with a minute of silence. I timed it. The silence before I stood up was 1 minute, 60 seconds. For some, it may have felt like an eternity. For others, 1 minute might not have seemed like enough to absorb fully the word of the scripture that we just heard. Be glad. I didn't use the example set in the Revelation passage of 30 minutes of silence. Or the example set by the Job passage. 7 full days. That would have put us on Resurrection Sunday, Easter. But doesn't it seem ironic and counterintuitive to be talking about silence on Palm Sunday, also known as Passion Sunday? There were boisterous crowds on Palm Sunday shouting, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord!" And some of the Pharisees who were present that day wished for silence instead. Jesus told them if the people remained silent, the stones would have cried out. Let me ask a question. Why did some of the Pharisees want silence instead of the statement shouted as Jesus entered Jerusalem? Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. That statement claims Jesus as King. And with Rome in control, many of the religious leadership benefited from Roman rule. These boisterous proclamations sound suspiciously like a riot, a call to rebellion, a king to lead them to war, to reclaim their sovereignty over Jerusalem and Judea. Toppling Roman rule by violent revolution was likely just what the boisterous crowd wanted and expected from Jesus. Those objecting Pharisees were right, and Jesus knew it too. That's why Jesus wept at the sight of Jerusalem. That's why Jesus spoke peace. That's why Jesus prophesied the destruction of Jerusalem. Because he knew the people were going to choose violence. Jesus wept. Jesus spoke at peace, hidden and unrecognized. That does not sound like a military king who will lead Israel into battle to reclaim the kingdom of David. That's why the crowds turned on Jesus less than a week later. That's why the riot transformed from hailing the conquering king to the calls to crucify him instead. The people did not receive what they expected. Their expectations were dashed upon the ground, even as Jesus prophesied about their children within the walls of the if silence dwells on this day of palms and passion, on this day of riot, it dwells in between the palms and passion. That's where quiet riot dwells. Where our expectations meet with divine expectations, and our expectations are found sorely wanting. God's plan far exceeds anything we can expect or imagine. And we are silent. We are quiet between the riots. Silent out of shock. Silent out of disappointment. Silent because of anger. The silence before the oncoming storm. Quiet. Riot. God's loving kindness and mercy and grace and peace are far broader and deeper and longer than we can fathom. The Jews of Jesus' day will wish for freedom from Rome, God had bigger fish to fry. God sought to destroy sin and death. The people of Jesus' day chose not to identify with the suffering of Jesus. Instead, they called for the very thing that caused the suffering to happen. They ridiculed him and taunted him that long, dark day. Well, they could have learned from Job's three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. These three friends remained in silence with Job and his suffering for an entire week. 7 days. Seven, that's the number of completeness in the Hebrew Scriptures. They mourned with him in silence. They tore their robes and threw dust on their heads. 7 days. Yes, they threw dust on their heads. Have you ever wondered what that significance of the dust was? Well, let's remember that Job was suffering from sores from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Sores like the painful boils that were one of the plagues in Egypt. Well, guess what? The plague of boils began when Moses threw dust into the air. It's recorded in Exodus chapter 9, if you want to look it up. Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar were attempting to join Job in his suffering in a symbolic and potentially physical way. Now, that's some depth of choosing to identify with someone else's suffering. Yeah, the people of Jesus' day, and we could learn a thing or two from Job's three friends. Instead of identifying with Jesus in his suffering, they taunted and they ridiculed. They rioted. Well, how did Jesus respond? With a quiet prayer of forgiveness. Quiet. What about that Revelation passage? Did you notice the palm branches in the hands of the great multitude beyond count? It seems appropriate for today, doesn't it? That multitude cried out too. They said, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Yes, salvation belongs to God and to the Lamb, to God and Jesus. And the Lamb will be our shepherd, leading out of suffering and pain that comes from bending our expectations to God's expectations, leading from a chosen position of weakness, leading from below. That's upside down from what we would expect in this old world, both in Jesus' day and in ours. No, not much has changed. Yes, the Lamb of God is our shepherd. There will be no more tears, because there will be no more sin and no more death. Then the seventh and last seal was broken, and silence reigned for about a half an hour. What caused that silence? I've heard a suggestion that the multitude of people looked around and saw who was there. They were dumbfounded and silently astonished at the variety of people who were included through the immensity of God's loving kindness, mercy, grace, and peace. Our expectations versus God's expectations. How can we practice silence so that we may release our own expectations, our agenda, and seek God's expectations and agenda? When the rubber meets the road, how can we embrace the quiet within the riot? Well, some monks speak about silence. That's not very practical in our situation. How can we potentially connect with the spiritual practice of silence? Now, how about unplugging from the riot within our lives a little bit more? Turn off the TV. Turn off the radio. Put down that phone. Behind the echo chambers, where attitudes and perspectives are magnified. Practice being fully present wherever you are and whoever you find yourself with. We be fully present in the here and now. Quiet yourself and listen. Be comfortable with silence. Ask some open-ended questions and listen for God's voice. Well, how does God speak? God speaks in multitude of ways. Through Scripture, through Christian traditions, like what we'll be doing this coming Thursday, through nature, through our brothers and sisters in Christ, through dreams and visions, through our families, through our friends, and yes, at times, even our enemies. Those people who rub us the wrong way. And that's just name a few of the ways God can speak to us. We may be shocked in the silence, but by what we hear and see and feel and smell and touch. Then we will experience the spiritual practice of silence. We will discover God's Spirit leading us through the peaceful silence in the midst of the violence in our world. The quiet.